Hey. You want to put that picture up? All right. Quiet. I'm going to get in trouble here. Sit down, Mike. We're going to deviate a little bit from what I've been teaching. I've been teaching on the through the book of Genesis, talking about the relationship between Adam and God, Abraham and God, Isaac and God, and getting ready to go into Jacob. And I thought I'd break it up a little bit since we're going to start doing Sunday school classes a little different next month. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago was about the tabernacle. And I never heard anybody preaching on the tabernacle or teaching on the tabernacle when I was in Bible school and so on and so forth. And an old minister was retiring, and he gave me a bunch of books. And one of those books was on the tabernacle. And I got to reading that book, and this is good stuff. I like this. Fill me in as to what God was talking about. The reason God built the tabernacle the way He built the tabernacle. So, I took a course with a Southern Baptist church out in Indiana, and the class that I took was on the tabernacle. And actually, from that little tiny book, it was a real thin, small book. And from that book, I knew more about the tabernacle than the old boy teaching the class. Of course, I had to keep my mouth shut in order to keep from getting in trouble in class. But, you know. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 26 of Exodus, page 109, if you got a Bible like Butch's. Now this begins the talking of the tabernacle, and Terry has a picture up here of the tabernacle. And we're going to start from the entrance gate, which is here on the right, and go into the Holy of Holies. So we're going to start out at the widest gate, and as it gets toward the Holy of Holies, it gets narrow and narrow and narrow. Now, when we look at this, we think of the tabernacle as just being a tent out in the wilderness. And there were three tribes on each side. This wide gate is faced east. The back of the tabernacle is faced west. The right side is north, and the left side is south. So, we know how we're orientated. And I may use this room as being similar to the tabernacle. Now, when we're looking at this, we're going to... And I'm not going to go into super great detail. There's a lot more than what I can get in a class or a month of classes. But if I give you a thumbnail sketch of it, like an outline from, you know, a book or something like that, where you could say, oh, I can go back and look at this and I can fill in some of the gaps. All right, but we're at chapter 26 in the book of Exodus, and it's talking about the tabernacle. And that's what this is. And it was made that everything here would package up, and they could move someplace else and set it up and have God in their midst. That tells me that God is so interested in you that He wants to travel with you wherever you go in life. You may go to church, you may not go to church, you may go to prison, you may not go to prison. Wherever you go, God is interested in being with you. That's why He made the tabernacle mobile. They hadn't entered into the promised land. They hadn't settled in. They hadn't developed themselves to the point where they were walking consistently with God. As a matter of fact, one of the most amazing statements that I ever read in the Scripture is that when God appeared on the mountain, what did God want the people of Israel to do? Huh? Go up and see Him? He wanted everybody to have a personal relationship and experience with God. If I ask you how you got saved, you will tell me a different story than how I got saved. If I ask you what your walk is with God, you will tell me a different walk than I have with God. My mom had 8 children, and every one of them was totally different than any of the others. We had the same mother, we had the same father, we lived in the same house, we ate the same food, but we were different. And that's what I'm trying to show in this tabernacle overview, is to show you that God wants to dwell with His people. He wants His people to know that they have access to Him. As a Christian, anytime I want to go to God in prayer, all I got to do is start praying. You see, I have full access to my Father. Anytime I wanted to talk to my dad when I was a kid, I could go in and say, "Hey, Dad." Now, he may shoot me down and say, no, you can't do that. Because I didn't know what I could do, what I couldn't do, or what I should or what I shouldn't do. And as we read the Word of God, we're going to look at this tabernacle, and we're going to see that as we walk with God, the presence of God was in the Holy of Holies, was it not? Amen. I mean, the very last place, with the cherubim sitting there and the fire sitting on top of that, and the table of showbread and all that in there, Aaron's budding rod, the Ten Commandments, all in there. And as God looked through the blood that they had applied to that, He saw the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not." So when God looks at you and you're of a redeemed person, He's going to look through the blood of Jesus and see the requirements that are on your life. And He's going to look and He's going to see you and see those requirements through the blood of Jesus, and I don't see anything. So that's what I'm getting at. I'm doing a real thumbnail sketch on this, but I'm sure you'll get a lot out of it, because I got a lot out of it when I first saw this. And it wasn't a book as big as the Bible or anything else. It was a small tablet about this big, 5x7. I mean, little. That's not a big book. But what it did, it sparked my interest and sparked my knowledge of how much that God is interested in walking and being with His people. We think of Christ dying on the cross, going to heaven, and someday we'll see Him, but we never think of having a relationship with Him. We think of it as being, well, you know, He's there, I'm here. Someday He's left me here all by myself. Maybe the Holy Ghost will show up every once in a while. We'll dance in church, or we'll do this or that, but you know, God's not with me all the time. God said He would never leave us nor forsake us. So when you look at it that way, I will never walk one moment alone without God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou, what? Art with me. You see, we forget those little passages that are promising us that everything in this book is applied to us and not just Pastor Butch because he's the pastor, or Sister Debbie because she's the pastor's wife. You know, that applies to them, but that doesn't really apply to me. No, it says, whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that means that I got the same salvation that Pastor does. I've got the same salvation that Debbie does. You can take your pick there. And so as I'm looking at this, I began to see that God had in store for me His Word, His promise, His walk. And what He wanted me to see was, even in the natural things of this world, I could see Him and see what He was doing. I'll be honest with you, I have never seen God face to face. I have never seen God in a dream. What I'm saying, but that doesn't mean He has not been with me and has not spoken to me and showed me things in the Scriptures that I never even dreamed of. So what I'm getting at here, Exodus chapter 26, it says, moreover. I like that, moreover. Why moreover? Well, that's kind of like saying, let's just go on and I'll show you some new things that you hadn't even thought of. So whenever I see a moreover in the Word of God, ooh, I'm about to learn something new. Okay? It says, moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen of blue, purple, scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim. You shall weave them. Now, he's talking about the fence that goes around all the way of the courtyard, all the way up and across. All the way around. So many feet long, so many feet wide, so on and so forth. Now, you see the post that linen is held in from post to post, like fence posts, if you would. All right? And each one of those fence posts was covered with gold. Each one of those fence posts were sitting in a socket of silver. That's what made them stood up. If you look at the bottom, you can see a heavier bottom than you can the top. And what that did, all these things had to be crafted and made, and the craftsmen were given inspiration in their heart to the Word of God to craft these things. Now, each one of those stood up. In our salvation, we are like those posts. We're going to stand before God. We're going to stand upright. We're going to be held in redemption. And we're going to stand there and divide the church from the world. That's all that fence around that was divide the things of God from the world. Now, that didn't exclude everybody, because on this end over here, there's a gate that goes just about from one side to the other, covering the whole eastern side of that fence. And that is like God saying, I got my arms open, come to me. Come on over here. Come here. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I asked Mike a while ago, who did God want up on the mountain? He wanted everybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. There's a gate wide open there that's big enough to take everybody in. But you're the one that has to make the choice to go through that gate or not. You're the one that has to make a choice to choose the God. Verse 2 says, the length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. In other words, there's no matter which side of that tent you're on, there's no difference in the measurements of the tent, of the curtains that are going across. In other words, there's not more requirements for Debbie to get into God than there is for me. There's no more requirements for Mike to get into the things of God than me, or vice versa. And so when we're looking at this, we're saying, you know, whosoever, it's equal. The requirement to get in is equal. You got to come through the right gate. You can't come through the north gate, the south gate, or the west gate. The only gate that's there is the eastern gate. When the rising of the sun and to the setting of the same. Remember that? From the rising of the sun. In other words, the first thing in the morning. Pastor alluded to this on Friday night. The first thing in the morning, you get up and you notice that the first thing you encounter is the sun. Huh? I've got an encounter and I've got an appointment with my Heavenly Father's Son, Jesus. And Jesus said, whosoever shall come unto me, come, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I can go through that gate, but I can't go any further. Why not? Well, let's go on and read. Verse 4, and you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is on the end of the second set, that the loops may be clasped to one another. And ye shall make 50 clasps of gold and couple the curtains together with the clasp so that it may be one tabernacle. In other words, God's saying that all this, even though it's different pieces, they're going to be so intricately woven and looped together that it's going to be as one loop, one barrier, one circle around. Now, the Word of God says that when a person sins, there's no entrance for him. Isn't that right? Doesn't the Bible say that a sinner shall not enter in? Well, what he's doing, he's showing that there's no access into the things of God with sin. You've got to come in the right way through Jesus Christ, the only gateway that's into that tabernacle. And in order to dwell with God, you've got to come in and know that your sins have been eradicated. Now, the first thing they had to do, they had the brazen altar. And on that brazen altar, there had to be a sacrifice made for their transgressions. Who is our sacrifice for our transgressions? Jesus, right? He bore the price. So I can walk in through the gate, be accepted by God, know that God has delivered me from all my sins, and He has washed away all my sins through the blood that was shed for me. I'm not going in there without a sacrifice to allow me the full access of everything that God has. I've got that sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice. Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. All right, now we get in there, and now we're going to go on into, we're going to get closer to God. And what's the next thing that has to happen as we're getting closer to God? We got the tabernacle right here. The altar. This is the whole tabernacle. Here's the altar. Here's the wide gate going into this. Here's the washing laver of water. And then we go through another gate into the holies. Then there's a third gate, which is the entrance into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God is. So what I'm getting at is that we are going through these stages, and we're going into the tabernacle to see the things of God. Now, when the you remember it, when Jesus' day, when they were selling the lambs and stuff in the tabernacle, they were selling the lambs that were inside that first gate and making money so that you could get redeemed. You see, a lot of people think they've got the way of salvation, and you're going to have to pay them in order to get into it. But God said, whosoever. And He didn't say a price to get in. But He did say that the price would be paid for your entrance. So what this is showing us is that God's, that wide gate, showing that God is saying, you know, anybody that wants to, come on, come on, come on in. We got a door there, it's not locked. Anybody that wants to come in can come in. Same thing. So it went off on me, Terry. So what I'm getting at is, as we're doing this, we're looking at it. And He says the length of the curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain shall be 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be have the same measurements, and you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain and at the forefront of the tent. So He's going through every detail of this. There is a requirement on everything. And as we are looking at that, we can see that God is saying, look, every detail of your life is important to God. God wants you to be able to come in, have the sacrifice offered for you, come closer to Him, have your sins washed away, there's no filthiness in you, and now you can enter into the tabernacle of God. Now, the tabernacle of God had no outside light. It had a candlestick on the left, it had the table of showbread on the right, it had the altar of incense on the front, and then you went from that tabernacle of the holies into the next curtain that was the Holy of Holies. Now, this is the exciting part about this, is that as God had this in mind, He had the tabernacle in mind as well as this tent picture. So when you get to the tabernacle that was in Jesus' time, and Jesus walked on those, what kind of rock was that? The stone that was made up of the temple was made up of it. It actually, they walked in the same pattern that was here on the tabernacle. The temple was laid out just like the tabernacle. You had to have the forgiveness of sins before you could approach God. The thing that we sometimes don't understand, and Pastor alludes to it a lot, is that only way you get close to God is to have the tabernacle, is to walk in accordance with the pattern of the tabernacle. As you get closer to God, the things of this world mean less to you, and now you're walking purely because God has taken care of your sins. He's allowed you to come in. He has taken care of your sins. He has washed you and made you ready to enter into the things of God. And the tabernacle, the temple, the candlestick that was in there was lit, and there was no outside light. You get to a certain point in walking with God that the outside light doesn't mean as much as it used to do. You're going to walk with God because God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. There's not one thing that I've approached in my lifetime. You know, I'm close to 70 years old. And there's nothing in my lifetime, whether it was having my mom told, you know, go make funeral arrangements for me, your son will not live, and mom saying, no, he will live. And I will take him home. Well, you know, a woman with faith is more powerful than a doctor with knowledge. I'm telling you that. Because I'm standing here in front of you. I went home. I was so small, mom and my older sisters pinned me to a cushion to carry me around. And a diaper was big enough to make a blanket out of for me. I mean, they just had to make handkerchiefs or something small enough to fit me. But you see, it doesn't matter what the devil wants to do to you. It's the tabernacle that is making a way and a provision for you that when you walk into the things of God, there is the light of the gospel that enters into your life and shows you that you don't need the things of the outside world. You only need what God has provided for you. Now, you may have to stand out in the wilderness. This thing was out in the wilderness. It wasn't in a city. It wasn't in a museum. It was out in the desert, out in the wilderness. But it was the presence of God showing that no matter where they went, what they did, God was an ever-present help. And God was there. God was going to be their light. God was going to be the table of showbread. God was going to be their provider. God was going to hear their prayers because that altar of incense was a type of the prayers of the saints. I mean, oh man, I enjoy the prayers. I've smelt some really good incense. My oldest daughter used to burn that stuff. And some of it was like, you know, skunk hide, you know, lit up or something. I don't know what it was. But then there was a few of them that she got a hold of that was really present. And I can imagine that when God is standing in the portals of heaven, and the prayers of His people come up, and God is there, and God, oh, it's sweet ambrosia. Because when you get into that closeness to God, you're not concerned about the light of the world. You're not concerned about the other things. You are concerned about what God is doing. What's the importance of God in my life? What is God doing in my life that I may benefit Debbie? What is God doing in my life that I might benefit the pastor? You see, everybody thinks it's the pastor has to do all the feeding, but there's times when you have to feed the pastor. I mean, he comes under attack more than you do. Because if the devil can take him down, he's got all of us. Well, it didn't work for him, and he prayed more than I did. It ain't going to work for me. But that, you see, that's not what that's about. The sweet incense of prayer going up before the people in the presence of God, in the holiest chamber. When you get in there and you see the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're feasting upon the bread of Christ, you're feasting upon the things that God is doing in your life, how He has blessed you, how He has brought you through. I've had car wrecks that almost took me out. I've had electrical incidences that almost took me out. But you know, there's not one. I had a tractor and trailer hit me one time. I mean, that was a big thing. I'm like a rubber baby buggy bumper. You know, I just take a licking and keep on ticking. But you see, what it's all about is it's not what the devil has done. I could go around talking about what the devil's done all the time. But the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life was Jesus Christ. And Jesus brought unto me His salvation. He brought to me His love. He brought to me His a relationship with Him. In other words, that's the tabernacle. I'm inside the tabernacle. I've had the sins covered, my sins covered by the offering of Jesus. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm cleansed. I can walk into the holies, and I can walk in and I can feast upon the bread of salvation. I can let my prayers be known unto God, and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ comes unto me and says, what? What did I say at the outside gate, that wide gate? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. God's still crying that out from the holies. And now, because my sins are forgiven, Jesus is my priest, the light of the gospel is there, God hears my prayer, I can go on in to the Holy of Holies, and I can come into the presence of God, and I can let my request be known unto God. I can tell God about everything that's happening in my life. I can look and I can see that He has provided salvation for me. He has provided the blood that covers that tabernacle. And it's as He looks down through that Ark of the Covenant, He sees the requirements that would require me to pay for my sins. But there's already been blood applied. Jesus applied His blood to that. And when God looks through that, He doesn't see my sins anymore. He sees the blood of Jesus. And I can stand before the Heavenly Father and I can let my request be known unto Him. I can tell Him all my troubles. I can talk to Him just as surely as I could talk to my Heavenly Father. And I could tell Dad, this is what's happened to me today. And Dad would rest assured, would help me through the evening. I mean, that's what this is about. That when we look at the tabernacle, it's not a method of keeping us away. It's a method for us to see that God has provided a path into His presence, that all our sins are gone, all our troubles are gone. Everything that we need is right there before God. And our prayers, which is the altar of incense, is a sweet savor coming up to Him. And He knows that we depend on Him to bring us forth out of the things of the world and bring us into His presence so that He can love upon us. That the fire of the glory of God can ascend upon us and remove all the things of this world and allow us to stand in His presence in the salvation and the blood of Jesus Christ. Whew, man, that is good stuff. I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of done preached myself happy. But you see, that's what I'm trying to get at. These little things, we so forget that the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the this and that, everything that God created or had man to create for Him is to show us and give us an example of the Heavenly Father that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden." I mean, don't run off. Run to me. I mean, there's things out here. You know, there was lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. I learned that from Shirley Temple. But you see, out in the world, there's everything the devil has to take possession of your life. But when you decide, you see, the one that walked in there had to decide. Am I going to offer up that sacrifice? Am I going to seek God for my salvation? Or am I going to go on my own happy way? You see, every Sunday when we come in here, it's like we've entered into that tabernacle. And up here is where we get the things of God coming in. Right? I mean, that door out there, last time I looked, that door opened up as wide as you wanted it to open. And you could enter into the things of God. There's some showbread back there. I'm getting it into your mind, into your realm, that God has provided for you that you could walk closer to Him and that you could have the blessings of God. And when you walk into the Holy of Holies, give me that. I'm with this bag right here. This is my bag. I saw this one time on my own. You know, when I get my shawl out here, and I got this thing all ready, and I'm going to put it on, and I'm going to enter into prayer with God. I got this thing on. I'm going to enter into prayer with God, and I close this up. Even though there's everybody around me, there's nobody but me and God inside this tabernacle here. It's us, just me and Him. And I can tell Him all my sorrows. I can tell Him everything that has hurt me throughout my life. I can tell Him every wrong that I ever did. Not that He needs to know it, because He already does. But see, when I confess, you know, God, You told me not to walk that way, and I walked that way anyway. You told me not to have dealings with that person, but I had dealings with that person anyway, and that person did me wrong. You see, it wasn't God's fault that that person did me wrong. It was my fault because I walked with that person when God told me not to. There's certain people you can't walk with. You have to separate yourself from them, like entering into that tabernacle, and walk with God and let God be your encouragement, your possession, your priesthood, your offering. You see, when He got to the altar of offering, Jesus is that. Jesus has already offered up the blood for you. When He says to be cleansed, He's already cleansed me. When He says enter into the holies, He is my holiness. And when He wants me to enter into the Holy of Holies, come in, and there ain't nobody there but me and Him. And I'll guarantee you, Pastor, some of the best times he's ever had, he's heard some great preaching. He's had great fellowship with a lot of other ministers and churches and so on and so forth. But I can tell you right now, the best times he's ever had it was when he was alone with God. I mean, it's not braggadocious. It's a fact, Jack. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And that's why I wanted to get into this today. And I took a thumbnail sketch of it, but I hope you see that God laid it out for us to have an intimate relationship with Him. And that as we read the Word of God, we read this, we read the Bible. Mike's read the Bible. Mike's made notes on every page in his Bible. He's gone back and made notes on those pages. And then he's gone back and made notes on those notes that he noted on his pages. But you see, as you walk with God, you begin to see what God, great things He has prepared for you. That's it. We'll have a little time to stop here and, huh?